This is exactly right.
On the next season of Tenfold More Wicked, a longtime listener reaches out with a tragic family story that's been passed down through the centuries. It's about Rebecca Briggs Cornell, an English Puritan separatist fleeing religious persecution, only to be found burned to death in her own home. Was it an accident or was it murder? Season 11 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I just really love referring to my boyfriend as the old balls and chain.
I'm Brandi Posey, and here's a plus side to COVID. I haven't seen a tactical kilt in months.
I'm Tess Barker, and I cannot tell you how fun it is to be confident and tall.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
For everyone, that's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Lady to Lady. Thank you so much for joining us. Let me just start off by saying we love you.
We really do.
Oh my God, we really do. And we're not just saying that. We're not just saying that. We genuinely do.
We're not like in love with you, but we do love
you. We love you.
Yeah. Like a friend. We're friend zoning you, but we do love you.
I like that. I'm in lots of friend zones and I'm happy to be there.
Honestly, yeah. The friend zone gets a bad rap. The friend zone is a great zone. It's an awesome zone. It's arguably got more perks than the other zone.
It's almost as good as a p-zone, which rest in peace.
Friend zone's like the ultimate Patreon tier, you know?
Exactly. That's what we should rename them, actually. That would be good.
That's a great call. Guys, our fourth voice in the mic this week, she's the host of the Hot Girl Agenda, which is a podcast and stream. Rara Imler, everybody. Welcome, Rara. Hey.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Where are you joining us from? Where do you live?
Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, nice.
The COVID hotbed of the South.
Wow.
It's great.
Guys, the COVID hotbed, you get to redo some elections. You just got a lot of action.
Yeah. We like the election season so much. We're doing it twice, baby.
Oh, my God. I feel so bad for you guys because truly, like, the rest of the country, you know, even as the most, like, noble of us have gotten tired of the texts and the calls, and it's going to keep going for you, and I'm sorry.
It's been a psychic assault since like August, and I'm just over it. Yeah. And my mental health cannot take it anymore. If I get one more fucking text message from David Perdue's office telling me that John Ossoff is a like commie darling, I'm gonna lose my goddamn mind. It's such an insult to communists to call John Ossoff a communist, okay? Woo! Sucks, dude.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know if growing up I ever expected to be on this many, like, auto text chains of people using emojis to try and, like, you know, save democracy.
Persuade democracy, yeah.
Yeah.
It feels like being sexually harassed as a woman. Like, I'm going to say it. Like, I'm not trying to be dramatic. I feel like it is a genuine, like, affront to my privacy and my autonomy as a human being to get assaulted with these texts and phone calls and emails. Like, it is truly, like, it's like Meg Ryan's nightmare. Like, I don't know. Like... Do you understand what I'm saying?
What do you mean? No, are you saying in a you've got mail situation?
Yeah, like, talk about a timely film. yeah, like, I feel like if Meg Ryan knew what she was in for with email, like...
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying, yeah.
She would just opt out.
Luckily, I don't think AOL inboxes can receive mass emails, so I think she's safe, probably. I think they just get bounced automatically.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back.
Who's laughing now? Everybody with the AOL.com email address. They don't even know an election happened.
They can only fit 50 emails at a time. So
no, it's
not
so relaxing. Yeah. No, they're having the time of their lives. They don't even like, they're in a completely different universe somewhere off the coast of Bali.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Yahoo News team. It's like, is Yahoo run by ghosts? Is it?
It sounds like so. It. Yahoo.
Ooh, yeah, boo.
Yahoo News team. Man, I'm going to get like an angry email or something from somebody's cousin or whatever. Just being like, wow, can't believe you said that.
Yeah. I bet they're out there. I don't know any personally, but oh no, I do. My mom. My mom's a Yahoo stan.
She stands Yahoo?
Stands Yahoo. I mean, she doesn't stand any kind of email, but she's remained on Yahoo. She's remained loyal. Yeah.
You guys ever go to your I sometimes go to my old email on Yahoo and kind of look at the person I was when I was 20 years old, and oh boy, it's a rough ride.
Yeah.
I go on my MySpace occasionally, like every 2 years now, and I'm like, is anyone still on this thing? And there's like 20 posts of me doing that. Like, is anyone still on this thing? And then like the one other person that checks MySpace for the exact same reason is like, hey,
that's the real ghost. MySpace and Yahoo. Yes. Mm-hmm. They should get together, I think.
Absolutely. It's just online messages in a bottle being passed back and forth to each other in the waves of the ocean that everyone has forgotten.
Robert, before we got on, you were talking about one of your I don't know what the
my financial submissive.
Financial submissive.
Yeah, oh my God, so I feel like such an aunt because I was like, oh, I know what she's talking about. That's the people who are submissive to on her Finsta.
Wait, well, how would that work? They just send her like on her Finsta, they send her submissive. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You know, so what
financial domination.
Yeah, what I've learned about financial domination is if there is a platform, there are financial dominatrixes on that platform, and they are getting money from men. It is doms are the most innovative sex workers I've ever seen in my life. They're amazing. That's why like I'm a baby dom. I've been doing it for less than a year. In January it'll be my first domiversary.
What do you get on the 1 year domiversary? Is there like a paper?
I don't know. There should be like a collective of sex workers that give you like a prize or something.
Yeah, yeah.
For every year, but I'm just like gonna make a big deal out of it and like have an online party or something and like have people come and chat with me and like throw tokens in my room or something like that. But like, yeah, I've been a dom for like 11 months now, maybe like 10 or 11 months now. And I started right before COVID hit. So perfect I had timing. To like start doing, yeah, like I was already building my FinDom brand and then all this shit happened and then I had to pretend to be like doing all right all the time, which is very, doing like being confident and sexy and being like, yeah, I'm getting all men's money. And it's like, sometimes you're not getting that bag and sometimes you just have to fucking fake it. And sometimes, you know, the faking it leads to the making it, which is, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole philosophy about
this. I think about how you have to like keep up appearances.
It sucks because it's more of like an influencer thing now. Like you really have to create like the whole package of a person and present it to people because people really do want like all access to you all the time if they're fans of yours and hardcore fetishists. And like hardcore like submissives, like they really will latch on to certain doms and just be like completely dedicated just because it just fits their you know preferences so well. Or they're just really good at being a dom and they got all the triggers down for this particular person, so they have like a loyal puppy like following them around all the time. So yeah,
wow. Yeah,
that's what it's
and like what are you considering when you're like creating your brand and when you're first starting? Like, what are some of the things you have to decide on?
Truthfully, I'm still crafting like something that is really representative of me, but is also slightly theatrical. I'm still like trying to bring a performance art element to it because I'm a fucking theater nerd and I'm I've been doing comedy for almost 8 years, so I'm like, I'm a performer, like I want to like do a performance too, like it doesn't have to be inauthentic or anything. So I'm trying to find that balance of like of being like sexy and also just being entertaining, and like not bringing it to a place that's too kitsch, you know, like it's just the right amount of just like sass and believability or whatever, or disbelievability. But yeah, I don't know. I'm still experimenting with it. Mm-hmm. I shaved my head a couple months ago, and that was like a really big change for me. But I found that a lot of my biggest clients and subs and subscribers, they stuck around. So I think I think they're used to me switching it up a lot. And I think that's part of the appeal of my brand, I guess, is I can switch it up and I can, you know, I like to like call myself like the customizable Dom. Like I'm customizable, but irreplaceable.
Ooh, there we go.
It's like, I have a blonde wig. I have a black wig. I can do goth. I can do soft. I can do like, you know, I can do mask. I can do femme. So it's like I really like playing around with pretty much every style of domination. So.
So how do you, like, how does it work exactly? I mean, for all the ants out there, which is us, how do you, you know, get into this? Or, like, how did you find it and how does it work? Is it people who follow you on, like, OnlyFans or what do you kind of, like?
Well, I got into, like, financial domination through just being on sex worker Twitter. And I got into sex worker Twitter over 2 years ago when I was, you know, I was just, like, really broke and I was working a full-time job and I was just very stressed out about money. And I was like, I just need, like, a side hustle. I just need to make a couple hundred more dollars this month and I can feel comfortable. And so I started selling my nudes on Twitter, and I had a relatively good, like, loyal Twitter following that's still pretty small, but it's like I had a core group of like followers where I was like, I feel like if I did something, they would be supportive of it. Or like if I sold nudes, I'd make money because I got a lot of, you know, reply guys and simps and stuff, right? Yeah. Which is fine. Like, they'll admit it themselves. Like, it's great. So I did, and I made like a couple hundred bucks selling my first nudes, and like I was just kind of like hooked on it after that. And then I started working in a strip club and I like dancing, and I've been doing that for 2 years. So I do in-person work and I do online work. And I just really started getting more into the online stuff, you know, when quarantine hit and the side hustle had to become the main hustle. So, because all the clubs shut down. So,
yeah.
But I've been trying to maintain it ever since quarantine opened back up, because I built a really cool online base of people and customers that were really interesting and tipped really well. And they were genuinely like interesting, cool people to talk to as well. So it's nice when you can make money from people that genuinely like you and respect you. Because it's not always the norm in online sex work. Sometimes people really be fucking testing your ass.
Yeah, oh, I'm God, sure. I can imagine. Yeah.
Oh, every day it's something. It makes you like in a way stronger. But then there's just some days where some really stupid asshole will text you something really stupid and it'll just set you off. And it's like, they'll literally say something like, you could like lose 5 pounds, and you know that it's so lazy, but you're like, it just sends you over the edge because you're just like, I want to kill you through the screen. I can't. And it makes me sad that I can't do that.
Well, no, it's like all those little things really add up sometimes. And it's not necessarily that one text, but it's all the text before it. You know, it's just like, it depends on what day it is that it's like, well, that was the one that did me in. So
you get to be this one, the one this all comes down on.
Yeah, I think it's the laziness of the cruelty of online stuff that really gets to me. Mm. It's like how, like, people are really not that generous with being kind to each other and having a casual kindness with other people, but they're very comfortable having a casual cruelty to other people they've never met before. Mm-hmm. And I find that really gross about online culture, because I'm like, I have a tendency towards being nice to everybody.
Yeah.
But then that gets like sucked out of you after a while, like after being too online for a minute, you know? So it's tiring.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's almost like road rage in a way. Like there must be some kind of anger that's not being dealt with in other places. So whether you're in a car or online or somewhere where you can like quote unquote safely be an asshole to someone.
Yeah.
Like, that's just an outlet that finds itself.
There's no consequence to it, really, going down. So it's like this weird letting the asshole balloon just beep, beep out a little bit.
I
got into it with some guy on like one of my posts, and then he was DMing me insults. And his approach was, he was like, you're fatter now than in your profile picture. And I was like, and I was like, I don't know what you want from me right now. Like, I don't change my profile picture depending on my size. Like, I just don't change my profile. Yeah, I'm just not the person
anything to the wall. Like,
just throwing anything at the wall to see if it'll stick. That's the method of online harassment I see, like, directed at femme people. It's just mm-hmm. like, I'm just gonna, like, is it your weight? Is it your non-relationship with your father? Is it your, you know, yeah. like, is it your age? Like, here's a bunch of, like, shit that I want to make you feel bad about. You figure it out. It's like, yeah. it's ridiculous.
Yeah, curate your anger a little bit. Yeah. How about let's take some creative writing classes, shall
yeah.
we?
Flesh out the yeah. story a little.
Read my tweets. Personalize it. Hurt me. For real. Yeah. You can do it. You just have to do some homework.
You know, it doesn't hurt me in the traditional yeah, yeah. sense, like this message. It hurts me because I find myself waking up at night being mm-hmm. like, what is this person like? Yeah. I just want to know what they're like in real life, because mm-hmm. I don't think that these people are like this brave in real life. And no. I just want to see no, I just want to see no. someone on the street and just have their like username like tagged above their head mm-hmm. and to just fucking like stare them down and be like, did you have something to say to me? Like,
yeah. Oh, for
because
sure.
Because you know they fucking wouldn't, because they'd be terrified of hot girls in real life. They'd oh. be terrified of all of us.
Yeah. Well, it's like how many stories do you hear that it's like, you know, somebody's a piece of shit and then they somebody ends up like looking up and finding their wife and then calling their wife and they're like at dinner just like on their phone. And it's like, are you telling people to go fuck themselves? And it's like, you're at dinner with your, what's happening
like,
right
eating
now?
Stew. What are you
yeah.
doing?
Yeah. yeah. It's just this weird like dirty little secret that people seem to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, like bad posters like really mm-hmm. do hide themselves so anonymously. Like yeah. I don't really know any like truly toxic, like toxic for no reason like public figures. Yeah. You know, like
well, I can think of one.
Yeah.
fair.
Yeah, there's only one really anymore. Yeah. Nobody else yeah. does it quite yeah. like him. But, like, that's a really weird thing. Like, what if you found out someone you loved and respected in real life who was really chill was, like, a really bad, shitty poster? Like, how would that affect your relationship at all?
I think it would. Because you'd be like, wait, is this who you real? Because it's like, which one's the real you? Like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, they're both the real you.
They both that's, are. Yeah. yeah.
That's like some sleeping with the enemy shit. Like,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
I mean, exactly. I think that the thing is, first of all, we definitely know some, you know, we have to.
For sure.
We
yeah,
we
for
know
sure.
more than one person who does that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think, like, if I found out that a close person I knew was, I think I would definitely talk to them and be like, what the fuck is this? Like, yeah. why are you yeah. doing this?
Yeah,
why
I would, if nothing else, just be people? Curious. Yeah, like.
Yeah.
What's the deal? Like, is this a troll? Like.
Yeah.
What are you going getting? On here?
What are you getting out of this that you aren't getting IRL, man?
yeah. Ugh. Or is this like weird devil's advocate thing? Like,
yeah.
Oh God.
A thing that some people just need to work out in their like psyche, right? But yeah, everyone yeah. else is afflicted by their bad takes and shit.
Mm-hmm.
I see it.
Yeah. I know, but it is, but it does like, we're all involved in some way because like I feed the beast too. Like I read comments and you know what I mean? I'm not even mm-hmm. saying my own stuff, but I like, that's the first thing I do is look at the mess like on some yeah. post that I know
oh,
is
yeah.
going to be controversial.
Who doesn't
you know?
Love coming across like a messy comment section? I mean,
yeah, it's like rolling up to a crime scene and just yeah, like as a, like right. a tourist at a crime scene, yeah. just like, oh, what's going on here?
I mean,
like,
comment sections are really the new Jerry Springer.
Yeah. That's so fucking true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think TikTok is the new Jerry Springer. It's ripe for the format. Like, can you imagine like reacts from like baby mama drama or something, or like,
oh my God, it's yes. perfect for that. A dance that's like, you were not the father. I mean, it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But we don't have the problem is we don't have final thoughts, and that's
I love a final thought.
Okay.
We could get Jerry on there to just do final thoughts. I mean, yeah. that would be an amazing TikTok.
Oh my yes. God. What if he did a recap of the day's best TikToks and made it like Jerry Springer style?
Too bad Quibi's gone, because that would be money.
Oh shit, I've been listening to so many podcasts about Quibi lately. I'm obsessed with it.
Really?
I'm obsessed with what it was, and even so, like, I have never Nixium? Once googled the site at all. I've never once searched for it or wanted yeah. to know what it even looks like. I've mm-hmm. just obsessed with the actual story of how it came about and like
how it ended, and just like that Reese Witherspoon got paid like $6 million to do a show on Quibi.
Wow.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Jesus.
Something crazy like that. It was like in the million. It was definitely like around $6 million. And I think her husband is like the CEO, one of the CEOs or something like that. So it was like this big
So this was a CAA joint. Okay.
Is everyone grifting everyone else? I don't know.
Grifting.
I mean,
up.
This is one of the, Quibi is one of those things that just makes you realize money is fake.
Yeah.
It's so fake.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fucking fake.
None of it's real. It's ridiculous.
That's why I'm in Bitcoin.
Okay.
Would you accept Bitcoin for your FinDom services?
For tributes? Yeah, yeah. I set it up specifically because one of my tech bro friends reached out to me and was like, hey, you should set up a Bitcoin wallet because these fucking nerds will definitely give you money if it's in Bitcoin. Like, they love trading Bitcoin. Oh. And I was like, I don't even know how to do that, bro. And then I just like kind of Googled it, like lazy. Like, I knew a Cash App had a Bitcoin wallet feature. Yeah. And I was like, what's this about, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. I'll set it up. And I set it up within 5 minutes. It takes 5 minutes to set up a Bitcoin wallet in Cash App, by the way. You just copy that address and, you know, give it to whoever is sending to you. They copy and paste into there, and it's a secure transaction.
Gotcha.
And it's not taxable, I don't think, until you take it out of your wallet and into your like bank account. So,
got it. And it changes every day, right? It's like a stock market in
itself. It changes every day, and it's not like the stock market. I think it doesn't stop on the weekends, because I have like a couple stocks, because Cash App has a stock feature, and I was just really stoned one day, and I was like, I'm going to put $5 in Etsy. And
nice! That's a good investment.
But, you know, I started fucking it was really dumb. Like, I was just like, what's all this stock shit about, right?
Yeah.
And just like, you know, being an anti-capitalist, I was just like, yeah, whatever. And now it's like, I see the appeal, like, if I had even $100 more to just fuck around with every month, like, I'd be fucking with this all the time. But as it is, I have like $50 in a couple stocks, and I'm just like vibing on it.
Yeah.
I can see. It's like, almost whatever. Like a, it's almost like a virtual pet.
Yeah. It's like a Tamagotchi, but with money.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, you're feeding it $5 once in a while.
See
if it dies or not.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's like any other online game, right? That you like throw money at. Like, everyone spent like $2 or $3 on an internet game and been like, yeah, whatever. It's $2 or $3. It's kind of like that, like when you start. And I was just like, I was kind of like working my way up to more. And then I just like hit a fucking roadblock with COVID. And I was like, oh, whatever. But it's like, it's not something that I seriously do. And I like, I'm not like a stock broker or whatever. And like, I'm not a bro like that. I also just like, I'm not a rich person. I don't have enough fucking money to be throwing around in stocks every month.
Well, it's like anything else. Like, we're just kind of, you know, playing around in it. But the people with the real money are the ones who are like making. Like, I don't know.
Because
the fuck
they're
this
like
is.
Selling money based on money that might not exist 15 years from now in China. Like, we're not
they're
there.
They're working at like levels I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Like throwing away like tens of thousands of dollars at a time, and like up and up and up and it goes. And you're just sitting there throwing like $10 at it. Like, hey,
is this gonna? Will this get me a house?
This could buy me a few footlongs one day.
You're like looking at, like, I'm still doing the thing where I'm looking at stocks of stuff I actually buy. And I'm like, well, I buy a lot of Beyond Meat. throw it at Beyond Meat. Because it's not a stock that I feel bad about supporting. Like,
for sure.
All this other stuff like Tesla and like, I don't know, like Chevron and shit. I'm like, I don't want to touch that. That feels gross. But I'm like, I would invest in Ulta.
Yeah.
You know, like, I got some Ulta stock.
My boyfriend got really into them, and he like researched all the companies so that he felt decent about the ones he was putting money into.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. You can like get it. That's another thing too, is like culturally you can just like get into it and be like, I'm investing in the future and like feel important or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, truthfully, you're just moving the dumbest amount of numbers around, like totally inconsequential. It's really just for your own edification, honestly. And like, it's fine. Whatever.
I mean, it's probably more productive than checking Twitter a million times a day.
Everything is
so much more productive.
Yeah.
That's what's great about Twitter is that it's so shitty that literally anything else you do is more productive.
Yeah, like you can be on Instagram and you're like, I'm working.
At least I'm not on Twitter. Yeah.
Exactly.
That does feel good, actually.
Like, you look up a hashtag and you're like, this is research.
Yeah.
But no, like Instagram is really bad now, though. Did you know? Like, have you noticed? Like, people have been complaining about it for a while, but they just seem to be out.
They keep updating, and they're Facebook's trying to integrate their Messenger or some shit. Oh my god,
it is really just the most awful shit ever. It's like all of the major social media companies got together and were like, "How do we make everyone just stop using our product at once? Like, let's all tank our sites at the same fucking time." Like,
exactly. It's the nicest thing they could do for us.
Yeah, because this whole thing with Instagram is crazy. Like, the way that they are just pushing advertisements on you and shopping on you is just, like, the worst fucking feeling in the whole world. Yeah. I feel like Pinterest is the next wave. Like, we all just got to get back on Pinterest.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. I honestly can't figure out how Pinterest works, and it's so embarrassing that I don't understand it.
Dude.
It does.
You just kind of have a vision.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination between Instagram and Google Drive. Like, you have to like set up folders and like you sort things.
But I see the folders. I don't know. I just it doesn't. It's not. I don't get it.
Do you find the pictures on Pinterest or you bring the pictures into it?
Both. You can create
both. I've never actually fucked with making pins, but you can do that from Instagram. So you can use your Instagram to make to show up on Pinterest, which would drive sales or eyes to your Instagram.
I mean, Pinterest is alive and well with people who are planning weddings. Like,
I use it all the time for like clip making. Like, I'm a real color theory nerd, so I'm trying to get like really into cinematography with my fetish content. So I have to make mood boards for every clip I do, so that it looks tonally like.
That's cool.
A makeup look, a set design, a style of laundry I want to wear, just like a general vibe.
Fun.
And like I use Pinterest to make the board to like put it all together.
Put it in the right place. Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Isn't it, and Instagram, it just came out, Instagram's been like fucking with like, if you post that you have an OnlyFans or something, it'll like shadow ban you too, right?
It'll just ban, like they will just delete your account. Yeah, it's so sesta fasta.
Which is wild, because it's like, come on, what do you think we're using it for? Asses.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
What ass? It's only a matter of which ass.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
they just don't want you to go elsewhere for the money.
Yeah. This is the whole, like, you know, the consequences of passing SESTA FOSTA, which was the anti-trafficking bills that that went through state and federal.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's throttling, like, online sex worker, our ability to make money. It's really, you know what's fucked up is it passed right after I started selling nudes for the first time, like, a month afterwards. And ever since then, like, doing more and more online work, I've realized just how fucking it permeates everything you do as a sex worker. I know sex workers that are on Tinder not doing sex work that have been banned from Tinder.
Wow.
So what did it what did that act do?
So it was basically the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act, and then the I'm really stoned, I can't remember the other part of it, but it was like basically the laws at the state and federal level, and it was an anti-trafficking law that passed that basically said that companies like Backpage that were found to be that have like posts from sex traffickers and like pimps and stuff like that, these websites could be held liable for sex trafficking charges. So now that is happening, it is a huge, like, it is considered a huge risk to have online sex workers, even if you're just a porn star and you sell porn online. But even having escorts on there, if you allude, like, they can just shut your your page down on any social media site if they think it's like pertaining to in real life sex services. Or trafficking, and specifically not sex services.
But they can decide that relates, you know,
everyone I've known has been affected by this stuff. It's really horrible. It's pushing a lot of, the thing about SESTA FOSTA is it got Backpage shut down.
Yeah.
And Backpage was used by in-person sex workers, full-service sex workers to be exact, to screen clients and to do like a thorough screening and vetting process before they booked people.
Okay.
And it was like also a network for sex workers to tell each other about these like maybe dangerous clients in the area, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when Backpage got shut down, that resource was lost for full service workers. So a lot of workers were driven onto the street again and right into the arms of pimps and sex traffickers. So it was a really deeply, deeply harmful bill, and it still is. And it's going to be like a bitch of a time to get it repealed. But I mean, there's so many groups like working on it right now. Like, we have a better chance now that Biden and Harris are in office, but not by much, because Kamala Harris has a really terrible work. She has a really terrible record with sex workers. She was one of the really early supporters of Sesta Fosta, actually, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, so that's the situation going on with online sex work right now. And in-person sex work isn't good either. Being a stripper right now sucks.
I can imagine. Right? What are like the COVID, like did your club have any COVID safety protocols at all? Or
yeah, but just for the employees. The employees all have to wear masks at my club.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you don't know what's going on with people coming in. Yeah.
But here's the really dumb thing, because I'd almost say rather that like you don't even need a mask at all because it's so redundant. But they have a thing where you can't get in the club without a mask. Mm-hmm. But once you're inside, it's optional.
What?
Come on.
This is in Georgia? I mean, because like in LA,
this is like around, this is the Atlanta area.
I don't think strip clubs have been open in LA the whole time.
This is bothering me for so long. Like, it drives me absolutely insane when I walk in the club every day and I'm like, I see this sign, like, it's fine. Like, you know, you need a mask to get in, but once you're in, it's optional. And I just like, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah. Then what's the fucking point at that point?
It makes zero sense, dude. Like, I really just don't understand it. And I'm like, I'm just trying to cope every day. Just like,
that's
trying
literally
to get
just a
it.
Keeping
like,
up appearances. We don't actually give a fuck if someone, you know, that's
oh
not
my God, they really
anybody.
Don't care. They don't give a fuck. It's so fucking weird. It's mostly, but the thing is, it's mostly the customers that don't give a fuck. And I think
because they do
afraid.
Have the option and they're opting not to. So fuck
yeah. But like, I think that because there's other clubs in Atlanta that are not requiring a mask for the girls, I think. So I think they're going there and instead of the club where all the girls are masked up. So I think that they're afraid of turning back anybody that's coming in right now because business is so slow. And this is just for my particular club, but this is like kind of the dynamics we're dealing with in the city. Is we're in a global recession right now. It's the worst time in the world to start being a stripper, by the way. Do not fucking do it. The difference between right now and January is like fucking night and day. This industry is completely changed
I can imagine. I mean, everything here is pretty much still, you know, there's restaurants and stuff open, but
you can't eat inside. I mean, there's nowhere in LA that anyone would be allowed anywhere without a mask on.
In the South. Okay, so actually, my boyfriend and I went camping this past weekend in North Georgia, and we were just doing like a little camping trip with a couple other people, and we stopped off into like Blue Ridge, Georgia, and it was near like the mountains we were camping at. And we stopped in Blue Ridge, Georgia, because we wanted to go to a general store. We didn't realize that this general store was just like this tourist trap in the middle of the town square. And we went out there and we were all like freaking out because there were like 2,000 people out in this town square. A lot of them not wearing masks, just shopping. Just shopping for tchotchkes. It's like, what the fuck?
We're so fucked.
What is happening here? My boyfriend and I were like looking at each other like, we gotta get the fuck out of here. This
That's
sucks,
why I just want to yell at everyone is like, trust me, we all want tchotchkes, okay? But now's not the time.
You think I don't want to be at fucking brunch, you motherfucker?
I haven't eaten in a fucking restaurant since like March. I want some fucking Waffle House, dude.
We all want this.
All want Waffle House.
We're all doing our best, damn it.
Absolutely.
We have to take a break. We'll be back in
BRB
a second.
Guys.
Hey, it's Kate. Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
And we're here with Rara.
Hey.
Yeah.
Rara, you mentioned that you have a MySpace. Did you ever do those like quizzes and stuff like back in the day?
The bulletins get to know you better.
Yeah. I did those quizzes for sure. I vaguely remember them. I mostly remember fucking around with like my music and my background. That was like the big ones for me.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, trying to get the like falling like images or something. I don't think I ever fucked around enough with it to make mine look cool. But
like evoking a certain feeling when they go on your page, like this represents me. Like, I kind of miss that. I really wish that was like a Twitter thing where you can go to someone's profile and just starts playing like
a song.
Saves the day or something.
It just has, like, that's the things. It has to be saves the day. It has to be that era, or else it doesn't count.
Gotta be some early aughts emo to let you know how deep
or like
you
some
are.
Bright Eyes.
Yes.
Just like,
absolutely. I love
it. Well, we have a MySpace questionnaire to do with you.
Oh, sweet. Let's do it.
When you think of your MySpace, it might make your heart race. You should get a red face when it seemed like a good end friend. Now it's time to take a MySpace.
Okay, let's see. What would your parents have named you if you were the opposite gender? Do you have any idea?
Oh, I don't know what they would have named me as a boy, but I do know that before they settled on Sarah, which is my, you know, birth name. Rara's my nickname.
Oh, okay.
Before they settled on Sarah, my mom really wanted to name me Rhiannon after the Fleetwood Mac song. That's why they landed on Sarah instead.
Yeah.
And my dad wanted to name me Jeanette.
Oh.
And Jeanette. I don't like Jeanette. That was I am not a Jeanette. I am a Rhiannon, though. That's a cool ass name. And I'm really fucking cool pissed at my dad that he would not let me be named Rhiannon. But I don't know the male version of that, unfortunately.
Gotcha. Ryan?
Maybe.
Ryan, maybe.
But Rhiannon's so interesting.
It's so more distinctive. Yeah.
And being named after a song is pretty good as somebody. My name is Brandy, so I get it.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. When you hear like your name song come on, it's like, hell yeah. It makes you kind of pay attention in the universe a little bit to like what's happening.
Were you actually like, named after that song? Or did that have anything to do with it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm named after Brandy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aw. Yeah.
Pretty fun.
I'm named after the Fleetwood Mac song, Sarah. But I like all the other Sarah songs. They're pretty cool too.
Yeah, Sarah's have a pretty good canon.
Yeah.
The only Tess song that I know. Yeah, they're in the musical Paint Your Wagon. in the song they call the wind Mariah, they go, "The rain is Tess." So,
See, my cousin's name is Tessa, and I've always really liked that name because it sounds like Contessa, you know?
Exactly.
It's very, like, royal.
Yeah. This is the most, like, aunt thing of all time, but when I used to be on Instagram and I posted food, I would say hashtag barefoot Contessa with the Tessa's all capitalized. Because awesome. I also am obsessed with Ina Garten.
Yes,
it's interesting. Tessa isn't a super common name, I think, but I've definitely heard many people call Tessa.
Yeah,
which is such an odd like step to make.
I know. It feels really imposing, and they're so confident about it. And like, I hardcore do not feel like a Tessa. I'd rather have you call me Teresa than Tessa.
Yeah, yeah.
People did that to my mom too. Like, she had an ex-boyfriend. Her name's Corinne, mm-hmm. or Corinne, I guess. And well, she goes by like Corrine. Okay, so I used to borrow her name for when I worked at a different job and they had two Sarahs. So like I was like, I'll be Corrine. Yeah. So I'd say Corrine, but my mom's name is Corrine. And she had an ex-boyfriend that would always call her Corrina. Mm. And I would just be like, that's not her fucking name.
Oh, that's so weird.
Bitch, like, yeah. And you're not my dad.
I've got absolutely. Barbara Ann. That's my name song.
That's a fun one.
That's a good name. Yes. Or a good song. Yeah.
Good song. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had my last day when I worked at I worked at Will Ferrell and Adam McKay's like company when I first moved here, and they sang that song to me my last day. Aww. It was really cute.
That's so sweet.
Okay. This is the whole question. Shy or outgoing?
Classic MySpace.
God. I mean, I guess outgoing. I don't know. That's a weird question. I'm not shy, but I'm definitely not like super outgoing. I like performing and stuff. I like doing comedy, and I like talking with my buddies and making them laugh about mm-hmm. stuff and showing yeah. it to the world. But I don't think I'm like outgoing. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting. I think these questions are because I've been watching like a lot of rom-coms lately, and when you think of outgoing, that's what you think of, like that you're like whoa, they like jumped up on a platform and started singing into the microphone out of nowhere, and you're like yeah. no one's like that, this is nobody, no one does this,
right? Yeah. Those people don't really have a lot of friends, I don't think.
Yeah.
Also in rom-coms, like the friends in rom-coms have so much time on their hands, like as much as I love my friends, I'm not like over at their house like makeover, what are you wearing on this date? You know,
yeah,
yeah.
They're very codependent in friendships.
Yes,
unhealthy relationships in rom-coms.
I've had codependent. I've had codependent relationships with roommates before, like where we became really good friends. Like,
yeah.
In fact, I think like most of the roommates I've lived with, I've become really good friends with, for better or worse, and like. Like a codependent roommate situation is very strange, like especially
sure.
when that person moves out and you're like whoa, like yeah, maybe a relationship or like
I think one of the worst breakups in my life was with a roommate.
Oh, that sucks.
I really like feel that. I'm just like, oh boy, I think of it, I shudder a little bit still sometimes. Oh man!
Yeah, I mean, it's just such an intimate relationship. You to live with somebody.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to go all or nothing. Like you have to remain acquaintances or just basically get married.
Yeah. Well, maintaining those boundaries is like so hard. It's like, I mean, I remember with us, it was like both just moved to LA and like didn't know a lot of people, so it kind of just became like building this social circle out too, and became a whole thing, and then you know started doing diet pills and shit, and then we stopped being friends. That'll happen.
The Jesse Spano route.
Yeah. Turns out
that just reminded me I have something for Top Secret Session that triggered something.
Oh great. patreon.com/ladytolady everybody.
It's not even a whole story, it's one sentence, but
perfect. Can't wait for this.
Me, that's even more intriguing.
A vignette, if you will.
Okay, here. This is a good one. What's one thing you should probably get rid of but just can't?
Probably any of my art supplies that I've had since I moved from Florida to Atlanta 4 years ago. That I've had for like upwards of 5 years, and I'm convincing myself like I'm gonna definitely use that little canvas.
Yeah
Like I'm totally. Gonna paint on that one day. Yeah. I know it's been 6 years, but I will paint on it one day. That's like
so
I need to
get
rid of
this
I am a fucking craft person. I love my crafts. Mm-hmm. And I really don't like admitting when I've given up on something.
Yeah. Did you used to do a lot of painting?
I don't do a ton of painting. It was like one of those times when I just had a lot of money, but not a lot of time. So I was like, oh, I have like money for hobbies, but just like no time to do them. So I bought like art supplies and all this stuff. And then when I had time, I was like, I can't think of anything to draw or paint. That's why comedy is so great. It's like it requires no commitment, like whatsoever. So
I think that's why, because comedy's been in such a weird state that I've just really leaned hard into the crafts, but I am like spreading myself over 10 different things and not getting good at any of them. So it's a really bad
Yeah,
place
that
to
sounds
be.
Like a me thing too. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is about femmes like just starting a bunch of shit and just like
But now I'm like in a hell of my own making because I'm so incredibly busy. I just don't have time for any of them. But I'm like really angry because I want to do them.
Yeah.
But that's my excuse. I'm too busy. I'm too busy to learn things. So it's not my fault. Like I actually did challenge myself the other day. I made these curtains behind me. I got some fabric at Joann's and I made those curtains for a cool backdrop I was doing for my OnlyFans. So I was very proud of myself. And I've created my own little content cave here because I film at home. Mm-hmm. So I have this room to myself. This is my bitch cave.
Nice.
And then my boyfriend has his room and we sleep in his room because it has the bed.
That seems prudent.
We have separate rooms.
I love
That's so great.
That's the ideal setup. Honestly, ladies, if you're thinking about moving in with your boyfriend, this is the only way. If you work from home, it's the only way to do it.
Yeah, if you can pull that off, that's ideal. If you each have your, you need your own cave to kind of go wild in.
Separate ideally. Yeah, and he works from home, so it's like we have our little offices.
Yeah.
It's really cute. Yeah.
Do you guys like have breakfast together in the morning and they'd be like, okay, bye, honey, have a good day?
Sometimes we're really good about like waking up and making coffee for each other, but other times it's like, you're on your own. I got shit to do. I'm late. You know, I am an hour behind what I needed to be doing. I was scrolling Twitter for an hour and I'm simply behind. So I got to go.
I don't know how many times I've told my boyfriend, okay, I really have stuff to do. I got to go. And then 2 hours later, he's like, how's it going?
Twitter,
and I'm like,
Twitter,
what?
Twitter.
How's what going? I haven't done anything.
Don't answer that question. Just be like, what? I was so busy working. I didn't even notice.
Yeah. I'm getting in the headspace. Thank you.
Yeah. The headspace, you know, we underestimate that the hours that the headspace takes.
It doesn't look like much, but inside, a lot's going on.
Yeah, exactly. There's a dance.
The warm-up, is an intricate.
Again, this is research. It's research.
Exactly. I've got my brain is just stretching and getting ready. It's all good to go.
Sorry, hang on.
No, you're all good.
Actually, I think we need to take another break anyway, so we're good.
Sorry.
We'll come back.
My cat was scratching.
Aw, that's okay. My dog is crying. Podcasting at home. All right, guys, I'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Hey, we're back. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
And we're here
I'm
with
Satan.
Rara.
Oh.
Satan. We're here with Satan.
On the fourth mic. Special guest.
Hello, everybody.
Salma Hayek in Dawn of the Dead.
I fucking wish.
I'm sorry. God, from Dawn Till Dusk. That. Sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, ooh. That was a great movie.
Wow. What a fantastic moment in... bimbo history when she just pours the tequila on her leg and just lets it drip down into Quentin Tarantino's throat.
So hot.
Oh, so hot.
I must have missed about Selma Hayek because I've always been self-conscious about having big tits, but every time I see her, she just owns her tits with so much confidence that I'm like, you know what, sometimes you gotta let your own inner Selma Hayek come out.
Absolutely.
I really wish that I could own my tits because it's just it's just too much. When they're out there, it's all I can think about.
What everybody else can think about.
I know. Yeah. So I have a very hard time owning them.
Yeah.
And you look at, someone as, her as beautiful and confident as she is. And I'm like, I wish I could act like this, but I'm not pouring tequila on.
It's because she's daring
leg.
You to look at. She's like, I dare you to look at my tits, bitch.
That's what it is.
Exactly.
Because what it is? That's how confident she is in her face. She's actually, you're still going to look at my face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a good way to think about it. I dare you to look at my tits, bitch. I'm gonna try this.
Yes. it's like reverse evil eye or something, you know?
It's just so hard when you don't. It's like I don't know, the whole male gaze thing, because it's like you want to control how they see it, you know, like me and my boyfriend went camping and I posted like a butt pic because there was a sign. There was a sign that said Deep Creek Road and I was like, oh, I'm posting pictures. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm posting an ass pic. So, you know, it was me mooning the camera. So it was like a joke.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I got some funny responses, but then one guy wrote thanks with the squirt emoji, and I was like,
oops.
And I just like deleted it because I was like, I can't think about this.
Yeah, because it wasn't the one guy that ruins it for everyone.
It is.
Yeah,
always.
it's like the one fetish guy that'll show up in your like other DMs, and it's just like, ma'am, may I get some foot pics, please? And you're like, follow my OnlyFans, you fucking weirdo. Like, leave me alone.
Yeah, like there's clearly a place I wanted this to go. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. I don't want it in my DMs on my main where I do like serious political organizing and shit post. I don't really want to think about being in like, I don't want to think about being in like sex worker headspace of like, yeah, like, are you coming yet? Like, that's not what I want to mix in my online experience.
Yeah,
like,
I've clocked out
whatsoever.
I've clocked out.
Like, go to my business account. Yeah. Contact me the proper way. Don't try to talk to me for free.
I will not talk to you for free. And it's so annoying.
But then you get some amazing people that are like, I found you on Left Twitter, and I will worship you forever, ma'am. And I'm like, yes.
That's
like
good.
Judd
this
Nelson
is a good
at the
sentence.
End of fucking Breakfast Club.
Yes. I love the I won't talk to you for free line. That's a good thing to like keep in mind for creeps on the internet.
That would be a nice auto reply. Yeah, you know what? I'm going to use that next time someone tries to slide into my DM. Sorry. Yeah,
someone tried to slide into my DMs today. Like, was it yesterday? And they're like, they're going to get, like, if they are stalking me now, they're going to get a kick out of this. But, like, they were like, why are you so stupid? That was their, like, DM to me. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't talk to haters for free. And I just, like, sent him my Cash App. And then he was like, That was his reply. And I just, like, sent him my Cash tag again. And he did it again. And he's been saying pee-pee-doo-doo every time I sent him my Cash App. For like 10 messages in a row.
Oh,
and I'm like, this is the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Fucking idiot.
It's like, at least send me $5 and then you can say pee pee doo doo all you want.
Exactly. Yeah. But also, I was just like, I'm not even going to block you. I muted you. So there's nothing you can do to me. Yeah, you can just keep doing this.
Yeah. Muting. But then God for muting on. Ugh.
Yeah, but then I just didn't reply to his last one.
Yeah.
And I really want to wait till like 6 months later and then just like send him.
This is what a calendar is
just
for,
fuck
I
with
think,
them.
Is just to put your late spite things in.
we
need spite reminders.
We need, like, I could do a little bit better with my spite organization. Yeah. You do that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I do that with tweets, like, with politics and stuff. It's like someone, like, saying, like, that's not true. They're not going to do that. Da 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 da. And I'd be like, well, I will set a reminder for a year from now. Check on both these people.
Yeah.
And boy, has that not been disappointing. That's been pretty great.
Man, spite secretary. This is a field of work that I could get into.
Very,
you should
very
offer that on Fiverr. I bet that would be a real...
People, yeah. I mean, because people are too busy sometimes to handle their own spite and they might need to outsource it.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, I'll schedule it, I'll give you suggestions.
And then you could get a little report card. Like, here's the people that you got vengeance on today.
Yeah. It should be like someone that monitors your accounts and the accounts of all your haters specifically and then like checks in on them when they're like saying like, just wait in 5 years, your pussy is going to be rotted inside your asshole and like you're going to be da da da. And then you like set a reminder, check on this guy.
Siri, set a reminder.
5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, there needs to be a spite Siri. That feels like the move.
An app.
Oh my God. Speaking of Siri, okay, so first of all, I'm having a really good day and I got my hair done, which is always my favorite thing.
It's beautiful. I love your blonde. It's very goldy.
Thank you.
Very, like, I don't know. It's very like classic blonde, which I don't see a lot of these days.
That's what I like. I like just your basic like middle of the road blonde, you know? Mm-hmm. But then I came home and while I was getting my hair done, my hairdresser told me that Oprah had a new interview with Dolly Parton. So I was like, those are my two favorite people. Now I get to like with new hair, sit and watch an interview between Oprah and Dolly Parton. But
I love it.
The funniest, there's two really funny things in this interview and I can't hate on either of these women for either of these moves. Mm-hmm. But Dolly... Mm-hmm. Clearly had in the interview some gloves that were like made out of like pantyhose material. to cover her hands. I like noticed it at first, and like they cut off here, and then she's wearing like big. But like I like love it because she's like the first person to be forthright about like altering her appearance and everything.
Yeah.
And she's been rumored to have tons of tattoos. So I think she might have actually been covering tattoos there.
Oh, funny. So that,
yeah, but they like cut off right here, and then she had these like super long red nails. But then Oprah. Like the most powerful person on the planet was forced twice in this interview to try to seamlessly integrate a Siri reference. Like, you know, it's so great, Dolly.
No.
You can be like reading this gorgeous book that you wrote, and then if you have Apple Music, you can just say, Siri, play me Jolene. And then Siri will play you, Jolene. You've got the entire Dolly Parton catalog on Oprah Music, and just watching her try to say
this. Oh, God, that's so painful. It was like product placement for Oprah. Like, you think she'd be above it.
I think she'd be.
I'm a billionaire now, bitches. Yes. I will never do this again.
Exactly. Oprah doesn't need a Siri. She doesn't need Siri.
She doesn't need this shit, but she doesn't need to be advertising in the middle of a segment.
Exactly.
No. Bullshit. Like, why is this still a thing?
They might as well have just gone the Wayne's World route and had her like look to camera and be like, Siri. Oh, wow.
That's kind of what she did.
Holy
like,
shit, that would be amazing.
It was like, why don't bring that to
SNL? You should write that sketch for SNL.
Yes.
We'll see if Lauren picks it up.
I love Lauren.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do a lady problem. Okay, if you have one, email it to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems.
Hey ladies, so I'm just gonna jump into it. My boyfriend of almost 2 years has found out that he needs to move by the end of the year. This will be the third time he's moved since we started dating. He half jokingly asked me when he found out if I would want to get a place together, and I flat out told him no. That when we're in... Sorry.
Damn.
No.
That when we're in a stable place financially, we'll look into it. Personally, I think it's too soon, and I don't want to rush into making a decision like that. But I think the closer it gets to December when he has to move, the more anxiety he gets about the situation. So he asked me again if I would want to look for a place together. I said I would think about it, but I'm a little nervous. He lives paycheck to paycheck with no savings plus debt to pay off. And he just started a new seasonal job that may turn into permanent work. When I told my mom he was moving, she asked me if it was time I moved out and looked for a place with him. Here's a little backstory. I'm 29 and currently living at home with my parents rent-free, no debt or car payment. I have a good amount of money in my savings account, but I don't have any credit either. I know I have to grow up eventually and I want to get out of my parents' place, but we live in California, it's expensive everywhere, and the only people I know who don't live with their parents at my age are married people. My boyfriend hasn't had the best luck with employment, but he does plan on enrolling in community college in the spring so he can start a career. Am I overthinking things? I know he's the person I want to grow old with and start a family with one day, but I've been so sheltered my whole life that a part of me is saying just jump into it. Move out and get a place with a man you love. It's so normal, people do it all the time. But the other part of me is screaming, don't move in with a broke man. Anyways, thank you for any advice or tough love you may share.
Yeah. Okay. I think she needs to move out on her own first. Without the boyfriend.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because yeah. I do think her instincts about, you know, pushing herself to leave her parents' house are right. And I think that she should listen to that. And she seems like she's thankfully got some savings and it seems like it's plausible for her. But I also think she's right that it's probably not a good idea to move in with dude right now.
Maybe not immediately. I think living on your own is an important step, I think, too. It's just knowing how to like do all of that stuff, because it also, you know, makes you realize how hard it can be. I mean, also I'll say this, if you had been paying rent for probably as long as he's been, you probably wouldn't have any money in your savings either.
Like, that's true.
Yeah. Seriously. No. Yeah. I mean, even if you're really responsible, that's a thing that can happen to you. Like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We're living in a time where it's like finding good jobs is really difficult. Like, you know, gig economy work is like very exploitative. Like it's difficult to to save.
I mean, it's tough because I just don't, if I was in a position, I don't know that I would push myself to move out on my own if it wasn't with him, because you are spending a lot of money to live, you know, by yourself. You're not splitting rent at that point.
That's true.
That's a lot. So.
And the whole it's not easier on your own either. Like, I mean, that's why people, I mean, that's another reason why people live with their partners, is it's really fucking hard to do shit on your own. Like, I guess, really hard.
I mean, I guess, or maybe get a room with a roommate. I guess my concern is like compounding. She's got this big growth that she needs to be embarking on. Yeah. And compounding that with another person who also needs to simultaneously be learning. Maybe it's great and you guys do learn those lessons together. And if this is the person that you want to marry, maybe that is a great thing for you guys to fucking jump off the high dive and just get a place together and figure out how to make it work, because you will. Yeah. But it does seem like a lot when you're not used to having to pay that to also be with someone who you're not sure if they're able to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough because it's like, when at that point do you want to, you're just waiting, you're waiting for him, I guess, to get a good job so that he would be stable enough for you to live with him. You know what?
Right.
I guess like, kind of like, what is she just waiting for that?
I guess, because didn't she say something like he's, I mean, I think what set it off for me was her saying he's not been reliably employed, right? What did she say?
Through place together.
Said he lives paycheck to paycheck with no savings plus debt to pay off, and he just started a new seasonal job that may turn into permanent work.
I mean, it doesn't sound like he's bumming. It sounds like he's like working. It's just like hard. It's hard to get ahead.
Yeah. So I don't know. So my read on it, and I think like I have a much more maybe romantic leaning on this whole thing, but. Times are fucking crazy. Yeah. We are living in one of the worst fucking timelines ever. There's not a lot of happiness and love and support to go around. It's been really tough for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, so my boyfriend and I moved in together right before quarantine hit. Mm-hmm. And we were in a long distance relationship for a year, and he moved to Atlanta to live with me. And he moved his job remotely to live here. And so as soon as he moved in, 15 days later, quarantine started. And we're doing, like, amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have to communicate what you need from your partner and, like, to feel secure in the situation. You need reassurance that he's going to do everything he can to find more stable employment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you need to just communicate. And constantly talk to each other about how you're feeling, mm-hmm. about things that are bothering you. And you do it before it gets to you, because that is the key to a healthy relationship. Not that you get annoyed with somebody, but how you handle that annoyance and how you recognize it as either just an annoyance or maybe a symptom of a larger issue you might have with that person. Mm-hmm. So my instinct is to go in the more romantic route, but more like cautiously optimistic, because it's very difficult to live with brand new people at a time like this as well.
That's true.
With your boyfriend, you know he shares at least a little bit of the same values as you, so you can rely on each other to be simpatico with that. Mm-hmm. So there's a kind of comfort in that too, and it might bring you closer together. You know, it might make your relationship more serious, and it might deepen his commitment to, you know, finding something more stable for both of you. So
yeah, I really like
that's an optimistic rendering of it, though. You gotta, like, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
ultimately, it's up to you.
Yeah, well, it's up to you. I mean, it just depends on your read and your judgment of, like, what you think his, like, what you think his behavior is going to be like in the future, I guess. Like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell, but it's like, what is your gut telling you?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, what is your gut telling you about this person? Like, are you trying to, like, push reality one way or the other to, like, justify feelings? But yeah, if this is someone that in your heart of hearts, you think, like, I see this person, like, they're going to do whatever it takes. Like, we're going to make rent. We're going to figure it out. Doesn't fucking matter. If that's who this person is, and hopefully it is, because you want to end up with him, then yeah, go for it. But if you're having reservations, don't try to talk yourself out of those reservations.
Yeah. And don't forget that there is a big difference between somebody who, like, isn't working hard and not making money and somebody who just is getting bad break after bad break but keeps coming back and keeps fucking working towards it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, shit's, like, hard right now for a lot of people. And keep that in mind. You know? There's a lot of broke people who are busting their asses. There's a lot of broke people who aren't doing shit. You know, and which kind of broke really, really does matter a lot.
I think. Definitely.
And also, like, you live, you know, you can always move home. You know?
Yeah.
Your parents.
That's a discussion
close.
You could have too, is like, hey, I'm gonna go try to do this thing on my own. I'm gonna try to be an adult, but I really need some assurance that I can move back in if things go sideways.
Yeah.
And sometimes having that having a safety net like that and like a place to stay if things go south is very important. Mm-hmm. For people just kind of like trying to branch out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
definitely good to provide.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we definitely have like friends that live in LA that it's like, you know, I know that have moved back in with their parents and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Right during this, because they're like, well, why would I pay rent for a year when I can't work, you know? Yeah. Might as well. And I mean, I know a lot of people moving out of the city kind of for that same reason. And it's like, I mean, if my parents lived within close, it'd be a consideration for sure.
Mine too. I think about that all the time. Like, yeah. I, you know, my mom used to live in Florida with us, and she moved to live with us, me and my brother, mm-hmm. in an apartment in Gainesville, Florida. And I think about that all the time, and I'm like, God, if my mom was here, I know I can live with her already, because I lived with her as an adult and it was super fun. Yeah. Yeah. And we get along really well. And I was like, man, if my mom was here and I lived around my brother, man, we could like totally split like a 5-bedroom house or something. Like, so it's like so tempting. But also it's like, I feel like Americans, like, you know, because I'm from Guam, so I'm not from this landmass. I'm from a completely different like culture. Mm-hmm. In our culture, it's like really it's really normal to live with your family members until you get married. Yeah. Like, that's like a total thing. Mm-hmm. And even like if you get married, sometimes you stay in that house because mm-hmm. it's just like your family's house, right? So it's like a little bit more normalized, I think, mm-hmm. to have to kind of bounce around from households.
Yeah.
Like as a young adult, I mean, as a problem child, you get bounced around from households too. Mm-hmm. They're just like, go stay with your aunt. Go stay with your aunt for a couple months. See how you like it there. Like shit like that. And yeah, then you get like bounced around. But I think like we should normalize it for adults, because I don't think there should be any shame in living with your parents. Mm-hmm. in this day and age, like who the fuck can afford to not, right? Like,
yeah. No, anything that you need to do to survive. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I think as long as you've got like some aspirations and some, you know, like ambition for yourself, and you're working on improving things, mm-hmm. I think that's more important than actually having those things and struggling. Like, mm-hmm. if you can like not pay rent or just like help out with your family's like mortgage or something and not worry about too much else than that, like, dude, do that, because that fucking rules. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I feel like under, you know, quote, normal circumstances before Corona times, I'd definitely be like, you know, get the fuck out of there. But
yeah,
I think it is true. Like, mm-hmm. A, we do need to really rethink that mindset in this country of like, yeah. you know, everyone living on their own or whatever. But I think you just need to kind of like, yeah, investigate in yourself what you really want. Like,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, is it going to be good for you to, you know, be a little bit more independent from your family in this way? Is it going to be good for you to live with your boyfriend and see how that works together financially and emotionally and all that stuff? I think just, yeah, like Tess said, like, trust your gut and mm-hmm. try to go with what you think is going to like help you grow in a good way.
For sure.
And yeah. that'll kind of lead yeah. you down like, the right path.
Yeah, Honor, I mean, it does seem like from her email, like she's having some instinct where she's feeling like she's becoming a little bit complacent and just feeling like she needs to nudge herself out a little bit mm-hmm. in some way. Yeah. And I think yeah. it's good to honor those instincts when you have them.
Yeah.
Because your brain absolutely. Has a really good way of talking you out of it, too. You know, in the mm-hmm. same way that you might know you want to go to the gym, but then you're like, oh, but the show's mm-hmm. on, or I have to send these emails, or, you know, it's...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I definitely know that, like, for myself, and I think for a lot of people I know, the times when I honor that instinct is the best for me. And, you know, yeah. I know a lot of people have gotten stuck in, like, routines I don't think they're the most happy with because they just didn't ever do it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And also moving out, you learn to appreciate your family in different ways too. It's like mm-hmm. I for sure my relationship got better with my family when I moved out, because then I'd say yeah, I wasn't taking them for granted, and I was like, oh, this is what they do. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't yeah. realize these were all the things.
Yeah, your parents are just people that had kids.
Yeah.
Like, oh shit.
Wow. My mom. Yeah. Like, I really, especially now, my mom like hates fucking dishes. You know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. I really get it. This sucks.
Yeah.
Like, because after quarantine, fuck. it's like dishes are like your main activity these days, yeah. and it's just like,
oh my god,
god,
I hate it.
Yeah.
Why? Like, why are there so many of them all the time?
Never ending. Never ever go away.
Sometimes when I'm cooking. Yeah. things, I will straight up not cook something because I'm like, I just don't feel like washing as many dishes as that's going to take.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you try to get like creative with it somehow. And yeah. Use like a cup instead of a bowl. You're like,
yeah, no, I get it. Even having a partner, that shit is like rough. We'll like look at each other and be like,
who's doing it?
Take out. Like, we're not doing this shit tonight. Like, we both had a day.
Fucking love the calling takeout feels like pulling the plug on plans you thought you were going to have to follow through in.
Yes.
Oh, like, yeah. It's just like, oh, fuck yeah.
Honestly, buying takeout is orgasmic. I think I might have like a legit like food fetish or something because like the minute you decide to get takeout, you're just like, oh yes.
Oh yeah. You get to go through the menu and like make the choice. It's just all the good things involved.
And then you get the high of when they come.
Oh yeah.
And then you sit there with your partner, like you guys are like picking out sex toys or something. You're like, what about this one?
What do you think about that? What do you want to split tonight, baby?
I'm getting takeout tonight now. I can't resist.
Oh, yeah.
Should we get a new kind of app?
What do you think? Yeah, it's like a snow
and these
snow
are fun
day.
You know, I mean, you might be doing this with your boyfriend already, obviously, but yeah. I don't know. That's a very hard decision to make, but good. Best of luck with it, and let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
Please let us know. All right, Rara. Well, where can everyone find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at Island Goth. You can find me on Patreon. It's patreon.com/hotgirlagenda. And on Twitch, twitch.tv/xrayisland. That is where I stream every week. I have been doing streams with like community organizers and comedians and politicians. And also I just kind of started doing a makeup stream for when I'm getting ready to go to the strip club and I'm just chatting. So I do that too. So I'm kind of doing a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. All right, guys. Well, we're going to head over to the top secret session on at patreon.com/ladytolady. And we're going to figure out the sentence that Tess.
It was just something that I wanted to say in the episode, but I was like, you shouldn't say this in the regular episode. You should say this.
All right. The mystery awaits you. Patreon.com/ladytolady. We'll see you guys over there. Right, thank guys. You, Rara.
Thank you.
Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.